For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
He cannot except a man be born again. Being born again is a requirement to enter the kingdom of God. If you don't get born again, you cannot, you will not, and you shall not enter the kingdom of God. So it is a requirement that a man be found faithful. A man be found, a woman, a servant, every Christian be found faithful. Amen. So we started looking at the various stages of this loyalty, or the various stages of not being faithful. Now, it is a very subtle thing, okay? Being disloyal, being not committed, being not devoted. And I can tell you, as a pastor, I won't lie to you, that I know people in this church who are not committed. Yeah, you are here, but you are not committed. Am I lying? Is it a hard thing to say? Yeah, I told you that's why we pray, that don't be offended by the word I'm about to preach. But you need to be committed. You need to be devoted. You need to give your all in what we are doing. You see, and I'm saying that there are stages. Okay? There are various stages, stage one, stage two, stage three, and on it goes, of disloyalty. Now, when we say stages, I hate to use this example, but you see, something like when we talk about malignancies, different various malignancies of tumors, they have stages. And the deeper the stage, the worse the prognosis. But nobody shall have any of those in this place, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, you shall not have that. Now, when we say you have stage one, it does not mean that you have it does not mean that you do not have the disease. In actual fact, it means you have the disease. When you have stage one of the disease, you have the disease. When you have stage two of the disease, you have the disease. When you have stage three. So in other words, when we talk about stages of disloyalty, every stage actually indicates that you have it. Every stage that we describe means disloyalty. Do you see? The final stage, which is a stage of execution, which is not good, or the one before full rebellion, It's like cancer that is almost in its final stage before it kills you. You see? It means it's been around for a long time. So we talk about these things for us to identify disloyalty in our lives, in our various lives, and correct it. So when you see that you are stage one, hey, Charlie, I have to come out of this stage. That is how it is. You make a quick U-turn and move in the opposite direction. That's the essence of talking about these things. You see, yesterday I was telling them, I've been disloyal before. Yeah, I've had that tendency. And when I see it, I quickly correct myself because I've been taught that this means that. You see? So the first stage we started talking about, the stage of independence. You see, and I'm saying that is a very subtle stage of disloyalty. Anybody that belongs to a body, an organization, even be it work or a body like church, and you maintain a spirit of independence. You know, you're in the church, but you're on your own. There is nothing that we do in the church that affects you. Yeah. Everything, you have your own agenda. You know, not that you are limited. Even take, for example, I was just before I came, I was talking to Pastor Corbin, we're looking at the cell group distribution. You know, there are people in the church who still don't go for cell group meetings. Not because you are working, not because you don't have the time, but you simply will not go. Do you see? And you could easily be having another meeting on your own. See, that's independent. It's not good. It progresses, and if you don't correct, it's going to progress on and on and on and on and on. And by the time you realize, you will find yourself in a place that you really don't want to find yourself. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So the first stage is the stage of being independent. And last week we looked at a very classic example of Joab, isn't it? General Joab and King David. He would never adhere to simple instructions that David wanted him to have. He would always do what he wanted, isn't it? Let me give you another example of Reverend Joab, or Shepherd Joab, and his action that depicts independence. Are you here? This morning you look like you are not here. Look at your neighbor in the eye and say, are you really here? Or you are not here? Yeah. This message is true when we are preaching this kind of messages. People are not too excited, but hey. It's a good message. Whether you like it or not, I'm still preaching it. I won't stop. I'm going through all the way. And if you don't come to church, I'll come to your house and preach it to you. I'll give you a personal one-on-one. Because it's good, isn't it? Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 18. Let's look at General Joab, Reverend Joab, Shepherd Joab, Minister Shepherd Joab in action again. So, if you remember, Absalom, we'll meet him later on, Brother Absalom, who is David's son, at the point turned against him. Yeah. So, even biological children can turn against fathers or can turn against the system in disloyalty. And Absalom is a good example. So, he really revolted against King David and took over. In fact, he took over even King David's his concubine. He did it openly. He set them up on a very rooftop and just finished them all to show how powerful he was. That's how, to show that you, my father, I'm taking over everything, including your concubines. So, at the end of the day, King David had to run away. And King David had to actually fight his own son. So, that's the picture. So, 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. It says, and David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And you look at it. Now, your father is actually coming to war against you. Because he has no option. Yesterday, we're sharing from those who leave you. And we're talking about a verse in Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was actually crying to God about the people. I mean, Reverend Jeremiah was crying to God about the people. How the people had turned their backs on him. How they were not even actually attacking him. And as he complained to God, he said, God, one of the things that touched me, he said, God, look at, even remember how I used to pray for these people. I pray that your wrath will be turned away from them. And now they are turning against me. Then he changed the gear. Now he began to proclaim curses. Yes. I mean, don't make a father or a leader get to the point where now he has to go to God and before God and begin to pronounce curses. That God fight them. God fight them. You see, many years ago, I heard Bishop, and sometimes when a father is doing something and you're a child or a son, you sometimes don't know the whole picture. So you keep quiet. So it's like, why is Bishop praying this kind of prayers? But hey, I mean, people have turned against you. They want to kill you. What do you have to? You have to now put into place Luke 18, 7 and 8. Avenge me of my adversary. You have to fire back, because if you don't fire back, they are firing and killing, they are throwing arrows. At least we have to make the arrows deflect and go somewhere else. It's dangerous. So what I'm saying is that don't get yourself into a place that now a father or a leader now is fighting you. It's not good. It's not a good thing. It doesn't bring blessings. it's just going to bring hardship. So now David is numbering people. He's numbering his army to fight his own son. It's sad. Very sad. But that shall not be your story. I said, that shall not be your story. Turn to your neighbor and say, that shall not be your story. So verse 2. And David sent for the third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and the third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and the third part under the hand of Ittai. And David is David was a warrior. Yeah, he knew war. And that's the mistake Absalom made. Don't play with somebody who knows warfare. They know things. Don't mess around with them. All right? Let's jump to verse 5. And King David, or the king, commanded Joab. Are you listening? And following, and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. You understand? We'll talk about this later on. But you can see also here that also was a weakness on King David. Yeah. I'm learning and I'm seeing quickly that when you're a leader, you have to be very strong. Sometimes you may even appear like you're even nasty, Mama Lou, but you got to be strong. Leaders got to be strong. We need to be strong. When we are heading and leading people, we need to be strong. We need to be sometimes calm down with a hard blow. Yeah. Yeah. So that we can correct things and make things move on. You see, because this thing that we are doing, there's a reason for loyalty. 2 Timothy 2:2. You see, we are in a state that we are trying to be faithful to that which has been committed to us, so that we commit it to other faithful people who would also be able to commit to other people. That is faithfulness. That is part of the loyalty equation. You see, so if we fail to do our part well, what is going to happen is that the church will die. There will be no posterity. The church is going to die. And there will be no more people to pass it on to. This church that we are in, I mean, it used to belong to a big church. Justin, isn't it so? Yeah, he lives here in Abington. Yeah. And you can see it's a beautiful church. Even in its old age, it looks nice. Can you imagine this prime time? Rustling Presbyterian church. But the people are no more here. At the point they had to sell it. Because people left, people were disloyal, and the remnants who were old just aged out. And there was nobody to leave anything to. So we have to be strong. So leaders ought to be strong. So when I'm strong and hard on you, it's for a reason. We need to move on and we need to push things forward. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Yeah. So King David made a mistake. He should have dealt with this in a better way, perhaps. But anyway, it gave Joab the opportunity to misbehave again. So look at verse 7. So where the people of Israel, or let's look at 6. So the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim. Verse 7. Where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David, and there was a great slaughter that day, of 20,000 men. That's a sad thing. You see, your disobedience and your disloyalty sometimes cost the lives of other people. Because of the mistake and because of your error in being disloyal and being disobedient, in not being committed, in not being devoted, other people suffer. 20,000 people died. Who needed not to have died? Yeah, 20,000 souls, lives were lost. You'd be surprised at how you're disobedient, you're not being dedicated, you're not being devoted, you're not being steady, you're not being committed will cost other lives. Yeah. I was sharing at a meeting yesterday that at the point I even wanted to leave this East Coast. Yeah. trying to find myself another job that paid nicer. Seriously. But Apostle Joel said to me, stay. This is your work. This is your life's work. And I obeyed. I stopped looking. You don't know how your non-commitment, you see, that is why you, when you are thinking loyalty, you don't just get up and do things. You don't just get up and even relocate. You don't just get up and, I'm not saying don't go anywhere. You see, there are also proper ways of doing things. You don't just get up and leave. There are proper ways of leaving in a proper way that will not cost lives. 20,000 men died for nothing just because of the disobedience, the disloyalty of one person. Are you here? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, are you understanding the message? Let's read on a little more. Verse 8. For the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. Can you imagine? The wood itself, the dangers of the woods. And you can see what happened, because Absalom was devoured almost there too. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. Can you imagine? Yeah. Absalom must have been a handsome man. Yeah. Even though he was a man, he had hair like a woman. Long hair. I don't know whether they were dreadlocks. Yeah, exactly. People sometimes are disloyal because of looks, gifts, because you know how to do something. Maybe you can sing well, maybe you can play drums well, maybe you can play an instrument well, maybe you can do something, and you feel like when you leave or you then everything is going to go down. Yeah. So giftings itself, see, that's what the Bible calls the pride of life. The pride of life. The pride of life. The feeling and the attitude of self-sustenance. That it's me. I mean, it's working because of, it's a very dangerous, it's called the pride of life. Dangerous. So Absalom's hair got caught up. Hanging there now. Where are you going to go now? Verse 10. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, behold, I saw Absalom hang in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, and behold, thou sawest him. And why didst thou not smite him here to the ground, there to the ground? I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. Then note what the man said. Verse 12. And the man said unto Joab, though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver, not even the 10, even 1,000, multiply it by 100, I won't do it. Even though I receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Do you remember the instruction? David said, deal gently with my son. Don't touch him. 13. Otherwise, I should have wrought falsehood against my own life. For there is no matter hid from the king. And thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. Absolutely opposite of what King David had said. Absolutely opposite of what King David had said. He did the opposite. That's an independent spirit. An independent spirit decides, despite instructions, decides, despite what has been said, they decide for themselves what they think should be done. Yeah. We want to do this and this and this, but you decide this and this will not work for me. I like this one. It's dangerous. It is a bad spirit. It is a bad spirit. Don't ever entertain independence. Because when you entertain independence, you are actually disloyal. You are in the early stages of disloyalty. I told you the pathophysiology of like chicken pox or some illnesses. Yeah. You can have the disease, but you look okay. People who can have chicken pox, but when you meet them, they don't have the, but you see by day 3, 4, 5, 6, then you see the rash. But they were equally contagious as they won. Amen. Are you here? So that takes us to the second stage of disloyalty. Now, understand that when you become special and you are independent, you are on your own. Everything else that you do is your own. It's a setup to be easily offended because you feel special. I'm so special that don't talk to me like that. I'm so special that don't give me instructions. I'm so special that don't tell me what to do. I'm special. I'm special. Can't you see that there's some special anointing on my life? Even my tongues, can't you see it? Kapo, tapo, cha, pa, cha, cha, cho, cha. It's Chinese. Yeah, it's Chinese. How often have you heard Chinese tongues? I mean, when you listen to me, can't you see the level of tongues that I am? You see, sometimes when you are praying with people that don't pray, you can tell. Because their tongues are rusty. As we are doing the prayer, I'm saying, they don't pray in tongues much. Maybe they haven't prayed for 1 month. This prayer meeting is the first prayer meeting that they are praying, so you can see that. But when you see somebody who prays a lot, you see that they are always ready to kick. They are always ready to kick in and fire and just be praying. It's quite different. Are you understanding? Yeah, it's very, very different. Yeah, so maybe your tongues, you feel like you pray. Or you can do something very well, so you're always in tune. You're feeling special. So offense is a stage in disloyalty. Offense is a stage in disloyalty. And a lot of people who leave, okay, they can give all sorts of reasons. But the main reason, 99% of the time or more, is offense. You are leaving because of something. You are leaving. That's why you are offended. That's why you are not committed. Yeah. Let's look at a scripture. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 10. Matthew 24 verse 10. These are the words of the Lord, isn't it? Are they in red in your Bible? It says, and then shall many, signs of the end times. It says, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And then men, let's all read it together. Matthew 24 verse 10. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Let's read it again. Matthew 24, verse 10. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Yeah. Many shall be of it's one of the signs of the latter days. Many shall be offended. Now, this verse tells us what happens when you get offended. You betray one another, number one. And number two, you hate one another. That's disloyalty. When you are offended, you leave. You don't want to have anything to do with anyone anymore. You see, offenses will come. I mean, it's normal when you have a group of people to be offended. It happens. When you live with people, you get offended. You may have offended me, and I may have offended you. But it is what you do with it. We should let go. Anybody with lingering offense, a long time you are keeping it, you cannot let it go. You are actually a set-up person for being disloyal. You will leave. It's just a matter of time. Are you understanding? So, if you are offended and you are in this church, it is time to let go. Seriously. It is time to let go. You must let go. Whether the church has offended you, whether a Christian sister has offended you, whether a Christian brother has offended you, it is time to let go. Yes, you have to let go. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, I forgive you every mistake. Hey, some people are very happy. Some people are very, 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 very happy. When they hear, I forgive you everything, it's like, Otria, you are saying it today. You should have said it long ago. Listen, there should be nobody on the left side who has an issue with somebody on the right side. There should be nobody on the right side who has any issue with the left. It should not be like that. You see, it should not be that you have any problem with the pastor. Can you imagine? You are in the church and you're offended at the pastor. A pastor who preaches, then why are you here? I preach to you every Sunday unless I've traveled and then somebody else will stand in place of me. But you are here. You are listening to me. Why should you be offended? It's amazing. Yeah. And please, do me this favor. Find somewhere that somebody can preach to you that you won't be offended. Yes. Let me end by saying this, that let's embrace the totality of Scripture. Yeah. Part of Scripture is for correction. Part of Scripture is for reproof. Part of Scripture is to pull your ear. Part of Scripture, it's abnormal to be in a church and no Scripture has hit you hard. Yeah, it's abnormal. Because if a pastor is really preaching the totality of Scriptures, there should be times that Scriptures will hurt you. And how do they say in that language? Preaching, the preaching is painful. Is that a war? A preaching is a war. It cannot be if we are looking at all Scripture. Maybe it didn't war war you on. Yeah. Maybe it didn't choke you. On in January, but by the time we go from January to December, at least there must be a man that the thing will spit. If it's not like that, means I'm not preaching. It means I'm not preaching. You see, but that by itself is one of the signs of the latter times. It says people will heap up, they will gather to themselves preachers that say things that they want to hear, with itchy ears. Yeah, you want me to just say only things that you like? Yeah, yeah. Only things that you like. No, when I'm preaching from Scriptures, I must preach everything. And some of the things you won't like. But it's good for you. The fact that you don't like it means it's correcting you. The fact that you don't like it means that it's reproving you. It's choking you. That is the essence of Scripture. That's the essence of Scripture. Yeah. That's the essence of Scripture. So it's okay. Even Jesus, he preached at the point, preached so hard that people started walking away. Then he asked, are you also going to go? So where can we go? We don't have anywhere to go. You have the words, the right words. Amen. Unless I'm preaching from another book. But if I open the Bible and I'm preaching to you from the Bible, and we are projecting the Scripture, you are looking at it, you are looking at it in your Bible, there's no place for offense. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, let go offense. Because offense is disloyalty. Offense is disloyalty. Amen. Close your eyes, bow down your head. I want to take a moment for you to pray for yourself. Put your hand on your heart. Just pray for yourself. Pray for yourself that whatever be in your heart, whatever be hidden in your heart, whatever be in your heart that is not right today, pray about it. Ask God to help you. You may be harboring something against somebody. You may be harboring something against a sister, a brother. You may be harboring something against someone not even here. What we're praying includes people who are not even here. People who are on even different continents. It could be somebody in Asia. It could be somebody in Africa. Pray and ask God to help you. And determine and say to God, from today, I release. I release. I release. I will not hold it anymore. I'm releasing it. I'm releasing it, and so shall it be. God is helping us this morning. God is helping us this morning. Release it, release it, release it, release it, release it, release it. For it is required in servants that a man be found faithful, committed, devoted, steadfast, steady, steady. Yeah. The signs of being steady is being steady with the word of God. What God says is what you do. When he says forgive, forgive. So let go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing our hearts. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, O God, for what you are doing with us, with this message of loyalty and disloyalty. Thank you, Lord, that you are correcting us and setting our hearts right to even walk with you, a closer walk with you. Thank you that through this message, our commitment in every area of our lives will be better. Our commitment to church work, our commitment to serving you, our commitment to family, our commitment to everything that we do will be greatly imparted. We thank you, we give you praise, we give you glory in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Every head still bowed, every eye closed. If you are here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to say, Pastor, pray for me, pray with me. I want to give my life to Christ. Anybody like that here, just lift up your hand. You're here, you do not know Jesus. You're not sure about salvation. Or maybe you got born again a while ago, but you are so backslidden. You know you're not walking the walk. You're not walking the way God wants you to walk with. You know in your heart. I want to help you this morning. I want to help you get restored. Just lift up that hand gently. Let me pray with you. Anybody like that here? Lift up that hand. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And all saints shall say, Amen.